Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Some community addiction services are reporting a huge spike in the number of cocaine addiction presentations in recent years. Now, traditionally, alcohol was the main problem drug. The numbers seeking help for cocaine addiction are now on a par in some centres that deal and help people who are experiencing problems. Now, Brian O'Connell has been hearing from those at the front line who are seeing this huge rise in presentations, and Brian is with us now. Good morning, Brian.
Morning, Claire.
So this is becoming a serious issue, is it?
Yeah, as you said, traditionally the main drug people would present to addiction centres having difficulty with was alcohol. It's probably still the main one, but cocaine would have been maybe, if you go back, say 10, 15, 20 years ago, might have been 1 in 10 presentations. That is changing significantly. Some services are reporting a 50-50 split between alcohol and cocaine presentations now. So it tallies really with a lot of what we're hearing anecdotally about the prevalence of cocaine use in Ireland. It does often increase at times of supposed affluence and high employment. We have a certain amount of detox beds in Ireland, probably not enough. We have some inpatient treatment units, but some addiction services are opening community hubs so addicts can now be treated in their local areas instead.
Okay, now you were in Middleton and you met a man from the East Cork area, and this man developed a really significant cocaine addiction.
Very significant addiction. He's in his late 30s. He had issues with alcohol before and then he sought help for that. Unfortunately for him, a significant cocaine addiction took over and it led to him seeking help almost a year ago. This is some of his story, including the staggering amounts of money he was spending on cocaine each day at the height of his addiction.
I grew up in the East Cork area and I came from a good family, you know, we weren't, we didn't want for anything, we had everything we ever wanted, but, you know, I always had obsessive thinking and I was always kind of like, I always say to people, for example, I always had the highest score on Snake on my phone because I obsessively played it, and I always had the most Premier League stickers because I collected all of them. I've always been an obsessive tinkerer and, you know, I've always been kind of one gear, you know.
When did the issues come to a head?
The issues came to a head when I first entered recovery 4 years ago for alcohol, and having given up the alcohol and successfully not used alcohol since, my cross addiction went to cocaine and became a huge problem.
Can you describe what it's like in society at the moment in terms of the prevalence of cocaine?
Cocaine is an epidemic at the moment. Cocaine is in every bar. It's not just an urban issue, it's a rural issue. I would say it's in most workplaces that you'll go into. It seems to be everywhere. It's readily available, you know. Now, I have no doubt that there are people who can take it recreationally, people do it, but I'm not one of those people, you know.
It's expensive.
It's expensive, but if it was twice the price, addicts would still buy it.
And obviously, in your case, it had a huge impact on your life.
Massive impact on my life, yeah. Massive, and it brought me to very dark places, and luckily now I'm 11 months clean and sober, and it's breaking up homes, people are losing jobs, there's massive debt being accumulated and people are afraid to come forward.
Typically, what was it costing you a week?
Every bob I had and more, and other people's money as well. I was taking a quarter ounce of cocaine every day. So that would typically be, if you're at 100 euros a gram, which is street value, you'd be talking about 600 euros worth of cocaine every day.
Every day.
Yeah, I wouldn't get out of bed without cocaine, yeah.
God, it's just extraordinary. He talks about every bob he had and more, you know, money that he didn't have. And of course you can understand that if you're spending 600 euro a day on the stuff.
Well, I mean, all addictions are costly, both personally and financially, but obviously cocaine, you can rack up significant debts, and obviously you have to go elsewhere to get the money. I mean, you can't generate that kind of money yourself. And I suppose the issue with cocaine as well becoming so prevalent is that for people who are addicted to cocaine, it can become very difficult to identify that you have an issue because obviously there's so much cocaine around you in society. And that was the case for this person. His use was masked really by how many people in his area were using cocaine, as he explains.
Because it's so prevalent, it's like I always compared myself to other people, like the people we spoke about who can take it at a festival. And, came, mm-hmm. and I used to say, sure, everyone takes cocaine, it's fine. But they weren't taking it like I was taking it. And the addiction had me deluded into thinking that I was fine, and that's what it does. The ego loves cocaine, like, you know.
And luckily now you've had 11 months.
Yeah.
Where your life is very different today, I'd imagine.
Life is different today. It's one day at a time. I feel liberated. I can think about things outside of myself.
And if we're looking to try and address the rising consumption rates of cocaine in Irish society, like, is there anything along the way that might have caused you to think twice?
The only way for me to get to where I was to hit my rock bottom. No. I don't know what to do about the cocaine problem in Ireland because it's so bad, but all I know is what I did about my problem. And if I had known that there was these services available, would I have done anything about it? I don't know. In the throes of addiction, you try not to hear that. You'd prefer not to hear it. But
well, I suppose for you, when you reached that rock bottom, the fact that there was a service available in your locality meant...
Life-saving, yeah. Yeah, it was, yeah.
Would people be surprised if they saw who in their local area was using cocaine?
I suppose if you're not in those circles, you would be, like, but it's everywhere. It's like the preconceived idea of an alcoholic is the guy on the street with the trench coat and the brown bag. It's not that. It's working class. It's middle class. You know, it's professionals. It's self-employed people. It's everywhere. People begin to body image and things like that. Now alcohol is heavy on the, you know, on the body. People can fit a tiny bag of cocaine in their pocket and take it, and you know, it doesn't. It's not as obvious, you know. You can't hide the drinking, but you could hide cocaine for a long time, making it even more dangerous and more likely to slip into a cycle of addiction.
So you can hide it, he says, for a long time. But Brian, you mentioned that addiction services are pivoting now to try and engage people on a community level. And you were chatting to someone from one service about what they're seeing around the place.
And often trends like this will be spotted first by frontline addiction counsellors, and as many addiction services have been reporting this huge rise in the numbers of cocaine addicts presenting. I met with Stephen Cashman, who's regional service manager with Coolmine in the Southwest region, and I met him in their community addiction hub, which is in Middleton. It's a new enough facility, and it's a sign, I suppose, that addiction services like this are becoming more prevalent and are having to go into the communities to meet addicts where they're at. Stephen told me some of what they're seeing at the front line in relation to cocaine use.
Prevalence has been rising year on year. We're noticing it, the gap is closing. Obviously, alcohol is the primary substance for most referrals in most regions, but the gap is closing. Cocaine has been kind of rising. So on in a local level here in the Southwest, we're looking at about 50% alcohol presentations, 25% cocaine presentations. If you look in the Eastern region up around Dublin, cocaine is the primary referral. So it's the primary drug of choice. So about 36% cocaine, 30% alcohol.
That is a huge shift.
Yeah, it is. And it has been, the gap has been closing for a number of years now. So what we'll find is, I suppose, somebody will come and they'll present to our services and we'll do an assessment with them, and they'll come and they'll say, look, I have an issue with my alcohol. It'll transpire that there's more than alcohol involved. They're using cocaine recreationally, suddenly it's becoming an issue. So 41% of all polydrug cases, or all cases, involve cocaine. Either the primary substance or a secondary substance or another substance that people are using.
And if you go back 10 or 15 years ago, you're saying at the moment 50% of admissions alcohol, 25% cocaine in this region. It certainly wasn't anything like that.
No. Alcohol would have been far and above, and cocaine would have been a blip on the radar.
Are you surprised at the moment how prevalent it is, or what's your take on it?
I'm not surprised because I'm seeing the data. You know, we're watching the data and we're seeing it rise month on month. So we have hubs all across Cork and Kerry. Access to treatment can be a challenge because if you're somebody from a rural part of North Cork, it can be challenging getting to the nearest town. So I suppose what we do is we provide community hubs. And from those hubs then we provide satellite outreach clinics. So our team here in Middleton will go to Cove, they'll go to Yall, they'll go to Carrigtwohill, and they'll meet clients closer to home. There's a number of detox beds up in Dublin, we'll say, but look, I suppose we're very limited in what we have here in the Southwest region, and that's definitely another big challenge for our clients.
So that seems to be a huge shift in the number of cocaine presentations to Coolmine services, Brian. You've been chatting as well to some GPs too. What have they been telling you?
In recent days, I was talking to a number of GPs, quite a good geographic spread, and all of them were telling me that they've seen an increase in the number of health-related issues associated with cocaine use that's presenting at their clinics, particularly amongst young men, they were telling me. Now, I spoke with Dr. Brenton O'Shea, who's a Kildare-based GP. He's assistant adjunct professor in the Department of Public Health and Primary Care in Trinity College Dublin.
Just under 3% of Irish 15 to 34 year olds have experimented with cocaine versus kind of almost under 2% across Europe. So that's almost a third more. So that certainly reflects what we're seeing in our surgeries.
And the particular health risks then, Brendan, associated with cocaine use?
Regrettably, involvement in violence, in aggression, it powerfully disinhibits people. But the main things relate to the disruptive effect this has on the lives of the people involved. For a significant percentage of them, they become less reliable, they become ultimately less employable, and you have what's known as downward social drift. As always, the affluent households have better protections, they're more resilient. My own impression, and it's only an impression, a proportion of younger people regard alcohol as a messy, not a good drug. You gain weight and so on and so forth. So these are kind of, if you like, short-term trends. The big fact of the matter is that the supply and the cost of all of these drugs has become progressively less as the decades roll over.
When I talk to people about cocaine use now, I mean, one of the things that strikes me is people say how open it is compared to, say, 15 or 20 years ago.
Yes, there's nothing else to say about that. I don't know what you can say about that other than saying that Irish society to an extent has acculturated to the greater use of illicit substances. And I suppose the question for us as a society is what approach do we want to adopt? There's the crime and punishment penalisation approach, and the evidence for that is poor. There is the caring approach with focused, targeted interventions. In general practice, we would like more resources to be particularly targeted at deprived neighbourhoods. So if you've got a population of 50,000, you get two public health nurses. If it's a very affluent 50,000, two public health nurses will be just fine. But if it's a modest neighbourhood, if it's deprived, it's hopelessly inadequate. In our general practices, we would like to have a little bit more time to talk with young people. Yeah, we should look at the schools and see what's being done there and what can be improved there.
So Dr. Shea wants more resources, but clearly there is a lot more being done, Brian, at community level in terms of treating addiction.
Well, the fact that Coolmine in the southwest, we're saying that they have hubs now all over Cork and Kerry, is a sign really that cocaine is no longer seen as an urban issue. And you obviously can't open a residential centre in every large town. So GPs, as we heard as well, they are going to be very important. These community hubs where you can access group counselling, you can access one-on-one help. They're doing a huge amount of work in treating people in the community because not everybody will want to go in for a 28-day residential treatment programme. Not everybody will have the funds to finance it. So being able to access community treatments, I think, will be key in trying to tackle this huge rise in the number of people presenting with cocaine-related addiction.
All right,
addiction
Brian,
problems.
Really interesting to hear about it. Thank you so much. That's Brian O'Connell reporting there.